Before we begin, I want to give a huge shout out to all of our patrons over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. Your support really makes this podcast possible. Any little bit as a dollar really helps us keep this thing going. I want to give a particular shout out to all the folks in our BBF BFF tier, and that includes David L, Anna H, Nini, Katlin, Marisol, Delia, Elizabeth O, Christian G, Evelyn, and Cassandra G. Y'all are the best. If you want to continue to support us, feel free to go to patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. The link is also in the description of this episode. All right, let's start the show.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks!
5, 4, 3. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Bitter Brown Femmes. This is your host, Cassandra, coming from El Paso, Texas.
And this is your host, Ruben, coming to you from Portland, Oregon. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
She's vegan.
It sounds so weird.
I know.
Oh my god, we're like no longer like an Aztlan podcast.
Well, some people would say that it stretches up there, but I'm not one of those people.
Oh my god, we're like Texas to Portland now.
I know, bouge.
But how has Portland been so far? I mean, I know you just got there. It's not like you've been there forever, but...
Yeah. I mean, my apartment, that's as far as I usually go. I like my apartment.
Well, that's good, because that's, you know, where you're going to be.
Yeah, but... I mean... I really haven't left my house. I, like, have to force myself to, like, leave my house. So I'll, like, schedule, like, a coffee pickup or something in my life. I'm like, you won't make coffee home today. You're going to go buy a coffee. Yeah. So I haven't started, like, the socializing or whatever yet. Like, school hasn't started. Like, teaching hasn't started. So I'm just... But it's fine. Like, I'm preparing my house, like... I'm very happy that I came early because otherwise, like, my house would be so unorganized and I would be living out of boxes for, like, a full year. Whereas right now, like, I'm taking the time to put everything in its place, and it's been really good. It's felt good. Yeah.
That's good. I think that when you start working, going to school, like, you know what I mean? You'll socialize more and you're, like, nesting.
Yeah.
I would, you know, you just want to... in your little home.
Yeah.
Like a little cancer crab that you are.
Yeah. So I am. I mean, I like my house. It's very noisy because I live by like a busy street, but it's fine. Like it only gets in the way when I'm like recording stuff or whatever. But what? Mm. Yeah. But how are you? How have you been?
I don't know. I've been good, I guess. To think. Like we haven't recorded in such a long time, it feels. I know. I'm trying to think, and I can't
since
remember.
July,
yeah. Right? Or like, yeah, because it was like our late Pride, and we're like the middle. Would this be the middle of September?
Yeah, straight up the middle.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. So it feels like, but as we said, we did a live. Was it a few days ago? Oh my god. Y'all, I never know the dates. Like, I don't know. Yeah, a few days ago, we did a live on our Facebook. I mean, on our Instagram.
Facebook.
And so we did. I know, we never.
I haven't opened my Facebook in ages.
I know.
Or posted anything on there.
So we did give an update, like, an hour. We did an hour live because we've just been kind of, like, you know, Ruben's been moving, just kind of going through changes. Like my child went back to school, so that's been an adjustment, you know, as well. And I'm planning on going to school and getting that figured out. So I feel like we've just been, you know, we apologize, but we've just been dealing with life. But I think we're getting settled in, so we're like back, you know.
Yeah.
So part of, I guess, you know, I was telling Ruben, like, this fucking year, which we've talked about, like, living in Texas has just been Oh my God. I don't even know the words to describe it. It's just like Greg Abbott has just been like, I don't know. Like, I honestly am like, it's like this thing where like Trump lost and I feel like he's trying to like assert his like bullshit. Like, oh, well, Texas is still like, you know what I mean? Like Republican and Texas is still going to build this wall. And like this, what is that? Not the word I'm looking for. Like revengeful, maybe. Like, I don't know. He's just been like, he's been trash. But this like this whole year, he's just been like just over the top with this like with all this bullshit with like what happened during like the winter storms with like so many laws that he's put into place. And like the latest, one of the latest ones that, you know, a few weeks ago was the abortion ban that just like that really happened. You know, I'm still like, there was like this, like when they had proposed it a few months ago, I think people were like, oh, like it's not going to go through, you know, like the Supreme Court is going to shut it down. And then it happened. And it's like, banning abortion at 6 weeks, which is pretty much you're banning abortion. So let's be real about that, because a lot of people don't know that they're even pregnant by 6 weeks. That's like a month? Like, that's it. Like, you just can't get a fucking abortion. And there's just so much to talk about, regarding that. A lot of the things that, like how people talk about the abortion ban, right? I think just like things like saying like there's no exception for like rape, which like, yes, that's shit, obviously, but it shouldn't matter if someone was assaulted or raped or if someone, whatever the reason is. I feel like a lot of the times when we're talking about abortion, people throw out these like things like, well, what if this person was in this circumstance? And what if this person, like, trying to garner empathy, I think, or like be like, this is the exception. And there shouldn't, like, we should never, I feel like, kind of go into that. I think that those things are important to talk about, but as a separate thing, if that makes sense, because then we're just like, I don't agree with abortions, but like in this case, like this person should get one and this person should get one because of this. And it's like, everyone should just be able to get an abortion. Like, they shouldn't have to share their stories or whys or, you know, like, just, yeah. That's it. Like, you get one and like, period, yeah. You know?
Yeah. The way that has, I've understood that is that essentially when we say like, oh, you know, we should allow at least abortions for when somebody gets, you know, sexually assaulted or in other hard circumstances. And it's like, that presents that like a person only has a right to make decisions about their body once they've been violated, right? Once they've, their agency has been taken from them, right? Through these different types of violences. And that is not as progressive as people, it's not the argument that people think it is, right? Because ultimately you're saying you want to give people back the rights to their bodies only once they've been abused. And, you know, that's why it's important to just fight for abortion access in general, like without stipulations, because it's like a medical procedure. Like, it is supposed to go hand in hand with like access to healthcare, right? It is a healthcare procedure.
Yeah, definitely. Which is also something that people always say when like people are bringing up Planned Parenthood, for example, and they'll be like, they do other things other than abortion. It's like, it doesn't matter if all they did was abortions. You know what I mean? Like, say, like, I know we're not talking about Planned Parenthood, but that's just like something that came to my head because I hate that as well. Like, I think that also, like, I try to say, like, I'm pro-abortion, and that doesn't mean that I'm like, everyone should get an abortion. Obviously not. I think, again, everyone has, like, a right to, like, their own decisions. But I think that putting an emphasis on the word abortion is important because people try to stray from it. You know what I mean? Like, there's, in a way, like, we're still, like, kind of implying that abortion is a wrong thing. Like, when we're like, I'm pro-choice, everyone can do whatever they want. And while, yes, that's true, like, one of those things is abortion. And abortion is not a bad word. It's not, you know, something bad that we need to make excuses for, like saying these things like, well, what if someone, you know, what if this happened? And like, well, Planned Parenthood does other things. Like, it, I don't know, it just kind of reinforces that to me. So I feel like I don't care again why you want an abortion. Like, I just, you should be able to get one. Like, that's it. You know what I mean? And I don't care if, like, Planned Parenthood or any other medical, like, facility just did fucking abortions. Like, they, like, that, who cares? You know, like, I would still defend said, like, medical facility. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry when you were like, I'm not saying everybody should get an abortion. It reminded me of this, like, trans comedian. I think it was Patty Harrison, who was like, I want to be, like, I want to get a womb implanted with my gender reassignment surgery. She was like, I want to be the first trans woman to get an abortion.
Yeah, like, and what's interesting is, like, you know, I'll kind of mention that my family's really religious, you know, and so they're definitely anti-abortion. And I think after I had my child that they assumed that I was all of a sudden, like, pro-life. Like, I remember my stepdad asking me, like, oh, now that you have a child, like, have you changed your views on abortion? I'm like, no. Like, if anything, it kind of reinforced them even more because, no, not because my child is terrible. Not like that, but because, like, when I was pregnant, I did consider everything. I considered having an abortion. I never considered adoption. That's just not me. Like, I'm sorry. People that are like, don't get an abortion, get an adoption. I'm like, y'all don't know how traumatizing pregnancy is to just go through all this for 9 months and be like, here you go. And I'm not shitting on people that do that. Like, again, I'm like, pro whatever you want to do.
Shit on Juno. Elliot Page's Academy Award nominated film.
I'm just like, I just, like, for me personally, that's a lot. Like, I was like, either I'm not doing it at all or I'm doing it and keeping it. Like, I'm not going through all that bullshit to, like, give it away anyway. And I was like, I felt like when I had those options, you know what I mean, like, I wasn't like, I have to have it, like, that's it, there's no other alternative, right? I weighed my options, and I'm glad that I had those options, because I, you know, motherhood, parenthood shouldn't be forced. It should be, like, a decision that we're willingly get to make for ourselves, right? Because once we force people into parenthood, it's like, so many, there's resentment, there's, like, you aside from, like, not wanting a child and it being forced on you, it's like, a lot of the times it's financial problems, it's like children growing up in environments where they know that they're not wanted, right? And a lot of the times they end up in foster care anyway. Like, it's just it's just violent to force people into having children, not just for the people that are pregnant, but also, like, for the children, you know? But anyway, yeah, so I'm like, I think I could be wrong on this number, but I think, like, 60% of, like, pro-choice people are parents, you know? I think, like, a lot of people are like, oh, like, you can't be a parent and be, like, pro-choice, and it's like, yeah, you can, because I think parents especially know, like, why would we force someone into this if they don't want that? That's not the life that they want, or they don't want it right now, you know? Just because, like, someone has an abortion doesn't mean that they don't want kids or that they don't have kids. Also, a lot of people who have abortions already have children or have had children, you know? Like, there's just, like, putting abortion down to, like, this box of, like, people that have been assaulted or young people or people that just can't afford kids. Like, those are kind of, like, the main stories. And it's like, people have abortions for so many reasons, for medical reasons. Like, a lot of the times pregnant people's lives are in danger if they don't get an abortion. Financial reasons, like, you just don't fucking want a fucking kid right now. Like, there's just it that's what I'm saying. Like, it just shouldn't matter. If someone wants to share their story, like, that's their prerogative and that's great, but we shouldn't demand that people give us, like, some explanation on why and how they felt after and if they regretted it and all this bullshit. Like, you know what I mean? Again, it's like a medical procedure. We don't do that with any other medical procedure. So, yeah, sorry, those are just my thoughts.
No, those are all really fine points. I also just want to, like, you know, let folks know, like, I think people think they're doing something when they're like, if this was, you know, if men got pregnant, blah, 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 like, these, you know, you can get abortions at a vending machine or whatever. And it's like, men do get pregnant, homie. Like, I've literally gone with, like, a trans friend to get an abortion. Like, I feel like our connection to Planned Parenthood are different. But, like, for me, like, I used to live across the street from a Planned Parenthood for a couple of years. And I used to be, like, a walker. So I used to help people get out of their cars and enter the facility discreetly, because there used to always be protesters outside. Because this particular Planned Parenthood was, like, right across the street from a church. So sometimes, like, those religious assholes would go to church and then walk their asses to the Planned Parenthood and, like, protest outside like a fucking, like, they don't have fucking shit to do. And I was gonna say, like, what is even the appropriate term for somebody who ain't got shit to do anymore? Because I feel like bums is not appropriate. Just a bunch of losers.
Fucking losers, man. Yeah. There's this, like, at the Planned Parenthood by, sorry, real quick and all that. So, like, there's, like, every time I drive by, there's, like, this fucking girl out there. And I swear to God, I want to, like, drive by and just throw my Coke at her. But I haven't yet, because she always disappears by the time I go around. But yes, they are losers. Get a fucking job, losers.
And that includes my mom circa 2007. She was one of those people, too. That includes my sister. Like, different, you know, all sorts of folks get pregnant, and all sorts of folks thus need access to abortions. And I really think that folks need to advance their understanding of basic, like, healthcare needs, right? I know that, of course, ultimately, abortion restrictions are meant to control, you know, women, and they're done with misogynist intent, but ultimately they affect all sorts of people. So in order to reflect that reality, we need to have our language meet the moment.
Yes, and we would like to come back to this, you know, this conversation definitely in more in depth next time, but we just did want to touch on it a little bit because it's, like, something that just happened in the last few weeks. But we will definitely come back to this conversation. And we are recording the day after the Met. Is it Gala or Gala?
The Met Gala. Yeah.
Gala. So we want to touch on that because it's fresh.
For those who don't know, the Met Gala is, like, this annual, like, event organized by the Met Museum and the editor-in-chief of Vogue, Anna Wintour. They usually have, like, a committee. This year it included, like, I think Billie Eilish and Naomi Osaka and some other folks. And usually it's done to raise money for the museum's exhibits, particularly the ones that are only there for, like, a year. And the event is, like, invite only, and essentially only, like, the biggest celebrities are invited. So you can rarely really buy a plate at this event. It mainly has to be invite only. And then once you get invited, you can buy a space. I think it's for, like, $30,000 a plate, and you're supposed to, like, bring the most avant-garde fashions, but nobody ever really does. You know, every year has a theme. In the recent past, there's been, like, the influence of Asia on fashion. There's been, like, the influence of religion. And then the one before the pandemic was camp, which was essentially, how does queer culture affect, fashion, right? And this year the theme was America, in America, a lexicon of fashion. And
I hate that.
And it was supposed to be, like, American fashion, but everybody just did whatever because rich people don't have taste. Even though they pay, like, stylists and all that shit. But so essentially that's what it is. It's an annual event where the richest and most famous people are carefully selected by the powers that be to raise money for a museum and to show the poor, you know, how the rich and fabulous live, right? It happens in New York. And yeah, I mean, I have opinions.
And the Met Gala, it happened in New York, in Manhattan, apparently. And AOC went, and she wore this dress. She kind of looked like a Chick-fil-A bag. It was just like this white dress with like red font, words, whatever, that says tax the rich. Very simple outfit, I guess. But I think I was surprised she was there, period. I don't know why. I guess it's not that surprising. But I was like, oh, like, okay, why? Yeah, I guess. And then, of course, like, her dress just made me, like, cringe. And I was seeing a lot of people, you know, share, like, when she first came out, like, oh, my God, queen. And, like, so it's turned into this whole thing, right? Because I posted it on AnFem, and my comments are like, are in shambles right now, but I'm like, I don't even care. I don't even want to look at them. I don't want to reply. Like, it's like half the people who like are cringe, and then the other half who are like, this is a good thing that she did this, right? And one of the things is like, people that are saying that she is making rich people uncomfortable, and that she's going to this space where there's rich people and bringing this messaging to make them think, or to make them, yeah, uncomfortable, to make them think, bringing this conversation to them. Yeah, seeing it as like praising her for it, right? And I shared like this video of her, and she pretty much says that the reason that she wore this was because these conversations about, I want to say like, about taxing the rich, or like about capitalism, whatever you want to call it, are happening between like poor, middle class, working class people, and that these conversations are never like, I don't know what word she uses. She pretty much says it's time to bring all classes into the conversation of having a fair country. And it just seems very like, there's just so much wrong with that statement. Like, the fact that rich people are not included in these conversations, that is a lie, first and foremost, because rich people, like, there's also people in my comments that are acting like rich people aren't aware of these things. Like, they're not aware that people, how people are feel about rich people, that they're not aware that people are saying taxing the rich, that they have no idea what's going on. Like, they're just so removed. And some of them might be, right? Like, they might be removed from everything because they don't really need to pay attention. They don't need to care. But a lot of them know. They're not like, oh, I've never heard about this before, you know? But another thing is, like, they are part of the conversation. I feel they dominate the conversation. At the end of the day, they're kind of like, I don't explain it, like, aside from them, I want to say that they are part of the conversation and they dominate it, really, is like, do they have to be a conversation? Because we're talking about they are the group in power, right? It's like, if I'm, as a woman, if I'm talking about feminism, I'm talking about like misogyny and patriarchy, specifically from like cishet men, right? And then I'm like, oh, we need to bring men into this conversation, which is what a lot of people do, right? We need to bring men into this conversation. It's like, do I need to bring men who are the people in power, who are the people who oppress me as a woman? Like, do they really need to be a part of this conversation, or do they need to shut the fuck up and listen to women and listen to the people that they are hurting? And that's what I feel about that statement. Like, it's just weird to say, I'm bringing this conversation because rich people have been excluded. It's like, first of all, they haven't. Second of all, like, why do they need to be a part of the conversation rather than like they need to just give up their fucking wealth? Like, that's how I feel like about her little statement. I also think she put out a statement like that she was invited, because a lot of people were like, well, like, she paid to be there, right? Like, she paid $30,000 to be at the table. And so a lot of people are like, no, she was invited. It was free. And like, she didn't pay for this dress. Like, it was designed for her. And even if those things are real, right? Even if she didn't pay to go, she didn't pay for the dress, like, the, you know, she just wore it. It's like, she's still there. She's still among those people. Like, she's still a part of that space, and that means something because you're there, period. Not everyone gets to be there, regardless if it's free or not, right? And it's just like she was like this, the designer of the dress is a Black immigrant woman, and she, and it's like those like little identity markers that I feel she's trying, you know how like liberals cling on to that, like the more like it's like identity politics, right? Oh, because this designer is Black, because this designer is an immigrant, because this designer is a woman, then all of a sudden like there's, we cannot critique that, right? And that means something, and that means like, oh, okay, like we forgive you, or like it's like this good thing when it doesn't really mean anything at the end of the day, like It doesn't mean anything that it was a Black designer, that it was a woman, that it was an immigrant. It doesn't matter if she didn't pay. Like, the fact of the matter is she was there, and that dress, it just so performative. Like, what does it do? Someone had also shared, like, I don't know if it was, like, on Google, like, oh, because of AOC's dress, like, look at how many people Googled the term tax the rich. And I'm like, because people wanted to see the dress. yeah, I'm sure there's someone there that looked up, like, maybe, you know, like, what does this mean or whatever. But it's like, let's be real. Like, not that many people are like, oh, I'm going to Google this. And now I feel differently because AOC wore this like dress and I'm so impacted by it. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, let's be real. Like, people just want to jump through hoops because, you know, again, AOC's like that fave, especially because she's Latina, especially like she can do nothing wrong. And it's like, it's just, I don't know. I'm sorry, I ranted for a long time. Ruben, please share your thoughts.
It's complicated. There's a lot of things going on. Where to take it? Essentially, so you said, like, you know, a lot of people looked up, you know, tax the rich after that. And I'm happy that maybe folks in their search for images of that dress, that maybe a couple of them got an education that improved their progressive politics if they were heading in that direction. I don't know for how many people that was the reality, you know, that they looked up the dress and that, you know, they became enriched in that matter. I want to be like, you know, fuck AOC and all this shit. I just, you know, I saw, if, let me just preface it with, you know, I love art. I was going to be a fashion major initially, you know, when I went back to school, but then decided to switch to writing when that called to me more. I look forward to the Met Gala every year. I look at the outfits, I, you know, judge as if I, you know, could ever be there, you know, and I think about, like, what the Met Gala means, right? I think a big part of it is the inaccessibility of art, unfortunately, because couture is not something that the majority of us will ever experience in real life, being in a gala, right? Having exclusive access to prestigious exhibits is not something that is going to be a reality for a lot of us. I think it is, you know, ultimately like a pageantry of the rich and famous. And I think that if we were to take it as just that, then so be it. You know, take it as entertainment. With AOC being there, I don't know. Like, I imagine, like, if I would have had the opportunity in a million years to go to the Met Gala, I would have just sat there and ate my caviar. Like, I don't know if that makes me a worse person, but I just don't know that validating this event with my presence aligns with me also trying to make a political message against all of the attendees, right? Like, tax the rich, but I'm also like, you know, chit-chatting with all you rich people. I also paid the $30K to get here. I also have agreed to be photographed and promote the event, essentially, because when people look up that dress now, ultimately they are becoming aware of the Met Gala, and that is promotion, right? If your idea was to make this event stop, right, or to make this event be more equitable, then there, I feel like showing up in couture, you know, something that was readily made for you, maybe not, was not the best direction. I feel like the intent was there, but I feel like with liberalism, it is all intent and no action. And I feel like this is one of those cases where, sure, AOC has pushed for progressive causes and has been stopped, or maybe stops herself at every turn, but, you know, I can't help but think about where her energy would have been better invested, right? So in this scenario, we have the juxtaposition of her showing up in this tax the rich dress versus a lot of grassroots activists who protested the Met Gala and were trying to block entry to it for, you know, the inequity it causes, for the, you know, the street sweepings that it causes, right? Because homeless people are pushed out so that these rich and famous people can make their way there, right? And the city funnels all these resources to making sure this annual event that makes New York City look amazing happens. Meanwhile, it like has a crumbling infrastructure, right? New York, we just saw that storm that hit it a couple of weeks ago as a result of, I think it was Hurricane Ida, right? New York got like the tail end of that disaster, and it was completely just, you know, inundated, right? The subway station, its streets, it just does not have the type of sewage system, the type of infrastructure that allows it to survive the developing reality of climate disasters, right? And so when New Yorkers see that the city has all this money to invest in the safety, security, and promotion of this inequitable, like, really offensively gaudy event, meanwhile homeless people don't have anywhere to live, like the subways are uncared for, the streets are not cleaned, right? Like, people's living situations are horrible and people are living paycheck to paycheck. When New Yorkers see that on top of like an ever increasing police budget, it's infuriating. And so I wonder how the narrative would have been improved if AOC showed up as a protester, you know, with the other grassroots organizers as opposed to as an attendee. Right. And I know people might think that we're going hard on her, but honestly, folks, like, I personally feel like she is being poised to be a future frontrunner for president. And I feel like in the beginning, like, that was like, nah, that'll never happen. But the more that you see her, you know, neoliberal acts develop, the more you see that, yep, this person is being manicured to run once she is eligible. And I think folks really need to start seeing these quote-unquote progressive politicians with that eye, right? Like, as much as I, you know, respect what they've done. I don't let my guard down with, you know, Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib or, you know, other folks just because I respect the activism that they have engaged in, right? Because it's not like we can't just rest on our laurels, right? What else are we doing to develop our thought or to further progress the causes that we say we believe in, right? And I just don't see how AOC's dress was conducive to change. And I am okay with, if I am wrong, if this dress really radicalized with a bunch of millionaires and billionaires to give up their money and to hella tax the rich, then, you know, I'll eat crow. But at the moment, I just don't think that that was the best move. And I really, I don't, the real human part of me that's really vain and really likes art and would do anything to go to this event or to be like an eye in these rooms does not blame AOC for going or for being tempted to go. But the part of me that has morals and things like that is just like, was this really the best route to reaching your goals? And I don't know, and I'm okay with being wrong here.
Well, I already said what I think, but I also, like, there was people in my comments that were like, oh, so we can't enjoy the Met Gala and all this stuff, and I'm like, no one said that, first of all. I don't really care about fashion that much, but I also, like, engage in, like, whenever it happens, I'm like all about all the funny shit on Twitter that people say, you know, like, oh, I like this person's outfit. Like, as much as, like, we hate celebrity culture, like, we still partake in it in one way or another, right? Like, especially, like, we've talked about this throughout our whole podcast. Like, we still talk about pop culture. We still engage in it in one way or another. Like, we enjoy it and we can critique it at the same time. So no one is saying you can't, like, engage in, like, conversations about the Met Gala and, like, be like, oh, I like this dress or, you know, whatever. Like, no one is saying that, but let's, like, be real about everything, you know? And I don't know, I would it have been better, like, I would have preferred that she would have just gone and, yeah, sat there and ate her food. I feel like people still like, it would still on some level, like, be like a moment of critique, because it's like, why are you there again? Someone that's saying that they're a quote unquote democratic socialist or socialist, whatever. But it's like, I would prefer that, like, than this performative, very, like, cringe bullshit that isn't real. And yeah, and then talking about the protesters, a lot of people didn't know that there was protesters outside. So there were protesters outside who were just bringing awareness to housing, to, like, abolishing the police, defunding police, and to how, you know, everything you said, that, like, this, just like during the Olympics, right? Like, homeless people are pushed out. Like, you have money to do this in our neighborhood while there's people who are living on ends meet. And, like, of course, NYPD was arresting people and, like, brutalizing people. And that didn't really make that much media coverage, right? Which is, it makes sense, right? Everyone was focused on the Met. So it's like, then, I don't know, like, this is happening at outside, and then inside you have, like, these performative dresses that are just, like, when the real shit is happening outside, which brings me to another thing.
I feel like it was to distract, you know, this is where liberalism comes in. I feel like it was to distract from the real activism happening outside, right? Like, this fake performative activism is on stage so that you can look away from what's happening in the streets, right?
Exactly. And that is what that does. I think I told Ruben there was, like, this tweet that I reshared that was like, at the end of the day, you know, AOC is kind of, she's not important at all. She's just a distraction, whether you're critiquing her or praising her, like, at the end of the day, like, and not just her, like, herself. It's like, that's what liberalism does, right? Like, those are, like, instead of grassroots organizing and, like, doing these, like, being a part of these movements, like, we're either critiquing said individuals or whatever and being distracted by like fake progressives, and like it is a distraction tool, right? And it is just kind of like people like AOC put in place to kind of like pacify us in a way, like, oh, okay, well, she made it, she voted, so now I have faith. Like, you know, when we were talking during the elections, like or I mean not elections, like when cops get found guilty, it's like a moment of like, oh, maybe the system does work, right? But now I'm going off on something else. But I did want to bring up recently, which ties into this, I think last week, a few days ago, it was put out that I don't know what network it is, I'm sorry, was going to put on a show, or I don't know if it's already happening, called
The Activist. The Activist? Yeah.
So it's like,
girl, we should go on.
Like, America's Next Top Activist. So they, and let me just give you some background if you haven't heard about this bullshit on the show. So pretty much, according to Deadline, The Activist is a competition series that features six inspiring activists teamed with three high-profile public figures working together to bring meaningful change to one of three vitally important world causes: health, education, and environment. the three high profile celebrities is Usher. Like, if you know me, I'm sorry, I fuck with Usher. I do. He's like '90s R&B. I'm sorry, like, yeah, but I'm not gonna go into that. But also, like, what is Usher gonna bring to the table, really? And then we have Julianne Hough, which I have no idea who she is, but apparently everyone was saying that she, a few years ago, did blackface. So, she's a white woman. I don't know if she's an actress or what, but apparently, like, should she be the best person? This show shouldn't happen, period, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, on top of that, they have this white woman who, like, recently got called out for blackface, and then we have Priyanka Chopra? Sorry, I don't know how you say her last name. Priyanka Chopra, who is also just very messy, but I think the most recent thing I can come to mind about her is when she told an actual, I want to say activist, or, like, not an activist, but, like, someone who was, like, calling her out about her position on war and imperialism, like, not to yell because we were all here for love. So it's like, these are the people, on top of this bullshit show, these are the people that you have chosen. Like,
I think that just, Priyanka was, like, supporting the Indian government, who was, like, imperializing and, like, subjugating, like, another ethnic minority or, like, religious minority in the area, and, like, like attacking them with their military and shit. And when Priyanka was being called out about it at, like, a beauty event, that's when that happened. But yeah, none of these people have, like, the background of, like, and either way, like, even if they did have the background of, like, super organizing, say, like, who I'm thinking about, like, I think, you know, even if No Name was attached, and who else is, like, a grassroots, even if Kalani. Yeah, she also organizes in Oakland. At least she used to. But that's another story. You know, even if it was these folks who have some attachments to the grassroots, I still don't think that, you know, activism should be commodified for the mass audience in that fashion, right? Because if you can judge activism based on TikTok likes and, like, you know, algorithm performance, right, on these different social media platforms, then what does that say about what activism is? Like, what impression does that leave on folks, right? You know, activism is the most likes, and it is, you know, these, like, infographics and all these things. And I think that's been kind of one of the things that I've been rethinking this year too, about, like, what are the limitations of social media as far as, like, educating people, right? Or bringing awareness to things. And I think that things like this really bring that into focus when we have made it so that activism is this popularity contest. I also think about the things that they chose as the activist causes, which are like healthcare, like climate change, and I can't remember the third one, but essentially are all these three things that can be completely apolitical, right? As we've seen with like white climate activism, right? As we've seen with racist healthcare reform, right? Like, these are things that can be taken in a way that sanitizes a real radical approach to combating climate disasters, right? And so this show is already shot, I'm pretty sure, because they only announce things once they're like far in development, I feel like, on deadline. So this is going to happen. And I just think that a lot of us have to prepare for what people are going to believe activism is. And already we see that people's perception of activism is so skewed, because whenever we critique something, it's like people always come out with, oh, you know, what are you doing? Or, you know, if we could, for example, right now that we're critiquing like PEG, the patriarchy or whatever, people are like, oh, so what have you done that is, you know, somehow better than wearing a shirt that says PEG the patriarchy, right? Or when it comes to ASD, somebody was like, why don't we all get together and vote or something like that. Somebody meant it.
No, that person before that comment, I'm like, I know who you're talking about. They said that exact comment. Like, what have you done? And she's done like a whole paragraph. That's why when they were like, the follow-up comment was like, let's all get together and do something. It was very like, because of that, yeah. You know? And it's like, anyway, sorry. It's just like, I hate that. Like, I'm like, I've done a lot. Okay, Steve from Blue's Clues also validated that, so thanks.
And I just found this post by India Moore where they showed their pictures from the Met Gala, and they also showed video of the protests happening outside the Met Gala, and they said, like, this is the outfit I wore. Thank you for inviting me, folks. And I was honored for the invitation. And they were also like, this is probably the last Met Gala I am going to. They said that, like, essentially they don't know that putting on this type of, like, fantasy show is the right move right now when we live in a world where the fantasy is weaponized against the truth, right? When these aspirational things are held over working class people. And the last paragraph is, I think, poignant. They said, like, we organize millions for a museum on stolen land that black and brown people suffer on, unless white supremacy thinks they are exceptional, but not for the people. Can't we be substantially generous in ways that alleviate suffering and poverty? I am surprised that I was invited, and I am grateful for the gesture, and I want us to be more sincerely thoughtful around how we take from people we do not care about, not so we can accept that truth, but so that we can grow the heart to change it. I don't know, I feel like this was a different way to stand in the truth of, you know, attending this type of event, not praising them either, like, for attending. And honestly, I don't, like I said, I don't know what I would have done if I would have got the invitation, you know, not that that would ever happen in a million years, but trying to put myself in their shoes and, you know, as somebody who likes that fantasy, like, I can see why they went. Yeah.
I can see that too. I just think, I mean, yeah, it's easy for us to be like, what would I have done? Because, like, yeah, that's never gonna happen to us ever. We're never gonna be put in that position. But I think maybe we need to demand or expect more from people. I don't know. And I don't know if that, I don't know. I'm just trying to think, like India Moore, for example, right? Or MJ Rodriguez, or people that, they're still celebrities, maybe not as big as other celebrities, obviously. And I think that they're more, like India Moore posting this self-reflection or this like very honest truth about how they felt, right? In regards to going, in regards to the protests, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know. Just a lot of thoughts. Again, I don't know how to explain it. It's just, I feel maybe...
I think...
It's like, at one point are we going to be like... I don't know what my thoughts are right now. I don't know how to articulate my thoughts right now.
I think that... they made a point when they said, like, you know, we've raising millions for this museum, but we can't do the same for, you know, people who would never be allowed into these doors. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm also not necessarily trying to be in the business of, like, giving people the answer because I don't know it. It's... I think I try to present alternatives, but ultimately, like, it is, I mean, the answer, I think, obviously, is, like, abolish the Met Gala, right, but I think the part of us that, unfortunately, likes to live in that fantasy has some hesitance, but as India Moore says, like, I think it is time for us to divorce ourselves from that fantasy.
Yeah, definitely. And it's hard. I think that it is hard, as much as people are like, it's easy to stop doing this. It's like, yeah, we enjoy watching. Again, I enjoy the tweets. I enjoy judging people, like rich people, like, what are you wearing? You know, like, it's entertainment for us, right? As much as it is bullshit. But it is like, we do need to, at one point, like, I don't know if sacrifice is the right word, give up things. And it's like a conversation I see often of, like, you know, we talk about overthrowing capitalism and what are we willing to give up is what I'm saying, right? Because if we're really talking about overthrowing capitalism and all this shit, it's like we have to give things up. We have to be able to do that. And it is hard because this is our life, right? Like, this is what we are accustomed to, comfortable with, whatever you want to say it. But at the same time, like, we do have to be able to give things up, things that we love, sacrifice things and realize, like, we do have to separate ourselves from it. As much as, again, we're talking about the Met Gala, but I'm talking about just in general, right? Just, like, other things, like, I don't know. I can't think of examples right now. But again, I have like a lot of thoughts happening in my head now.
No, I think it comes down to, like, there's this, like, in there's this pervasive ideology in, like, the DSA type of socialist person that is like they're fighting for fully automated luxury communism or whatever. And when it comes to these types of luxuries, I think that we fail to consider that luxuries are luxuries because they're inaccessible and because they come at the expense of somebody else. So even in this fantasy, fully automated luxury world, you know, champagne and galas and diamonds are still going to be off the backs of somebody else or at the expense of other communities, right? So, yeah, I think it is, I guess, a call for us to try to leave that fantasy. And that might be a utopian thought for a lot of people. But other people, you know, might have left those desires a long time ago. So I guess it's just like we're all on a different point of this path of trying to ground ourselves in the radical reality that we want. And I think that also, like, because we're not all of us want the same thing at the end of the day, like, you know, a communism or, you know, liberation does not look the same for any two people, maybe. I think that's also where we are maybe having some conflict about, like, what is the position of luxury in this case.
Yes.
So do you want to conclude?
Okay. Yeah, because, like, I could just go on. I feel like, because right now, again, like, all this just happened last night, and we're, like, we were going to record anyway, and so, like, I have a lot of thoughts, and there's still, like, things coming out, right, like, new, like, I like reading other people's, like, thoughts, too, and so, like, maybe, like, you know, well, anyway. But those are my thoughts right now.
Because, I mean, I don't want to be assuming. Like, I always, like, I try to be, like, if I would have got invited, blah, blah, blah. Not because I think that that'll ever be my reality, but because, like, I am also somebody who likes to treat themselves on occasion, right? Like, we all do. And so, like, I think that it's also making me question, like, what is the place of those treats in this greater context, right? Not that anything that I could ever buy in my lifetime would ever hold a candle to any of that, but I think that I try to always, whatever critique I'm dishing out, I try to also see how it applies to me. But in conclusion, we are going to go into our next segment, our final segment, which is, what has made you less bitter lately, Cassandra?
My friends, I guess. I think I don't want to go into detail about it because, like I said, when we did our live, I went into this whole thing and I always end up crying on our lives or this fucking, on all our episodes. But in short, you know, I've just been feeling and still feeling, it's like an ongoing thing of feeling like not supported as a single mother, you know, which I talk about a lot about how, you know, children and parents are part of communities and we're often like forgotten about, which I don't want to go into right now either because it's like a whole thing. But me personally, I have felt like that. I've been dealing with a lot of things with my son lately and I'm trying to go back to school and it just felt like impossible and like people just didn't care, like, you know, in my feelings about all these things. And then, you know, one of my best friends did something that really supported me and being able to go back to school very selflessly. And so I felt like, you know, like very supported in that moment and very held. And like that to me is like community. Like I know that they are, like I said, like one of my best friends, but it's also like this community that I feel like I have, right? Not just with her, but like with other friends and just other people in my circles that I don't see often, that we don't talk often, but I know that if I did reach out and I did say I need this or I need a favor, like they would be there, like having that support, you know, as much as it feels like sometimes like I don't have it, if that makes sense. But just like being held, I think, by like my friends and just like being able to, just very little things too, like just being able to vent, just being able to, sometimes that's all. That's all I want, really, right? Just to be like her, just to be able to vent and have people, like, see me and my struggles, I guess. So I think lately just, like, being very thankful for that. So. But still very bitter about a lot of things. But but that was less bitter. What about you?
What has made me less bitter? You know, being really hopeful for this change, this move, this is the first time in my entire life that I've ever had like a space, like an apartment of my own. And it's been a lot of tough work, like organizing things and like unpacking, like I still have a lot of boxes and stuff, but it's also been like, holy shit, this is where I live. So that's made me less bitter. I do miss everybody in LA, but I also feel really hopeful for this next step of my life. So that's been making me less bitter. Like, I wake up every day and I'm like, okay, we have to do all this shit today. Like, I give myself, like, tasks. Like, you know, build this shelf today. Build this sofa today. But ultimately, like, I'm, like, seeing the progress that I've made is really encouraging. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm very happy for you for the next chapter of your life, and hopefully I can go visit you in Portland, and it'll be like a reunion.
Yes.
You know, because like for those of that don't know, which we talk about all the time too, because we always get asked how we met. We like in person officially met in Portland, so it would be like a thing. You
know? Like, I mean, wait, when did we form? 17. Next year would be our 5th anniversary, so
yeah, we have to plan.
Tear it up in Portland. All right, y'all. Thank y'all for joining us for this conversation. It was a lot more serious than I planned.
Yeah.
I feel like we're wrestling with a lot of questions, and so that's why maybe it was more serious than we originally planned.
Yes, but we will be back soon. We have a lot more, like, we still have to talk about bisexuals.
Y'all exist.
You know, still bisexual month, bitches. Latinx Heritage Month is coming
arriba, que caliente.
And caliente. We still got to talk about Texas and all its bullshit. Still want to talk about motherhood. A lot of things. So, yeah. So we shall return soon, I promise.
Stay tuned.
And thank you all so much for listening. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Before we leave, I want to give a huge shout out to all of the folks in the I Know Her level tier over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfams. That includes Fernando P, Medium, Ali, Tate, Brenda, Ames, Amy, Layla G, Lisbeth K, Sara M, Yulisa, Chrissy J, Gianna R.O., Miguel B, Nancy M.M., Yasmin, Jocelyn, Vanessa, Erika, Alejandro M, Justine, Magdalena S, Ronnie, Linda M, Bianca, Daniel V, Kimberly, Jen A, Abigail, and Aranya. I love y'all so much. All right, I'll see you next time for sure. Much love.